today, as I was struggling to ask the Holy Spirit what he wanted me to talk about, he said they need to understand that these feasts are just not for ha-has. Because a lot of times we don't comprehend the obedience that was required from the Lord by his people. And by the Lord himself. I mean, he wanted his people to connect with him. And so the reality, it says in verse 1, on the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpet. As an aroma pleasing to the Lord, prepare a burnt offering as one young bull. There's your bull. One ram. We saw that a few weeks back. Seven male lambs a year old, all without defects. With the bull, prepare a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. With the ram, 2/10, and with each of the seven lambs, 1/10. Include one male goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. So if a goat could make atonement for you, just imagine when you and I go to the throne room and we make atonement for somebody who's hurt us, the difference in the heavenly realm. If a goat could be used as an instrument to free a nation and its people for 1 year, how much more the blood of the Lamb that we have knowledge of? Amen? Now, the Day of Atonement, on the 10th day of this seventh month, hold a sacred assembly. You must deny yourself, do no work. Present an aroma pleasing to the Lord, a burnt offering of a young bull, one ram, etc., etc., etc. And then on the verse 12, it says, on the 15th day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work and celebrate a festival to the Lord for 7 days. Now, why all this information? To bring you to an understanding that Rome decided that the people of God and the church of the living God was doing such an awesome work and getting blessed every fall that they decided we're going to do away with this. So they had a Nicene Creed prepared at the 325th year of the church. And they decided that they were going to get away from all the Jewish background, get rid of the feasts, change the names. Passover became Easter. And they did away with the fall feasts, and they put their own things in just to kind of just secularize, if you wish, the church. God never changed his appointment with his people. He told them they needed to gather and connect with him. And it was really an appointment with their ability to be changed. Now, for me, 1986 was the first year that I really set aside some quality time during the Feast of Tabernacles. I did not do a great deal about the trumpets or the atonement. I was aware of it to a degree, but I was having a hard time with my religious brain. Did you ever have a hard time with your religious brain? I had an awful time with my religious brain. So I cried out to the Lord consistently for days. The following year, again in 1987, I was now at least a little more educated, getting a little tiny hint of what God had done and why, but still did not comprehend it. All right? So I'm being honest with you. So that's 20 years now for me. And in 87, a little more time was set aside, a little more of an awareness now of the trumpets. The trumpets were exciting for me. The angels blowing trumpets, that was exciting. That fit with me with the return of the Lord. It also fit with me with the trumpets that were heard and Gloria in Excelsis Deo, the wonderful song we sing at Christmas. And God began to kind of zap me about Christmas and the birth of the Lord. So I said, well, you know, maybe my religious brain is starting to bend a little. How many have ever seen their brain bend a little? Okay, and you start saying, well, God, you know, what is this feast situation all about? What are you trying to get out of me? And of course, in 88, now I had gotten hungry. God had created a hunger. And guess what he did? I flew out to Oregon for a week of feasting with the Lord. I can remember I had put on some weight and I was concerned about it. Men are just as bad as women. And I said to the Lord, I'm on the plane, and I'll never forget it. I'm on the plane and I said, Lord, you've got to help me to put in the right foods because I just don't want to come home with another 10 pounds. Okay, I'm being honest. Okay, just didn't want another 10. And I'm sitting all by myself because we had switched planes in Chicago and all my other friends were in another area and I'm sitting by myself. So I'm totally alone in the corner looking out the window and the Lord starts talking to me. He says, didn't I tell you it was a feast? Yes, Lord, it's a feast. So are you going to go to a feast concerned about diet? That sure didn't match my theology. And he says, would you celebrate with me all the good things of the harvest? Oh, okay, I can do that. So guess what? We got there, it was all individual little houses, okay? And me and my friend from Westfield had this little house all to ourselves. It was brand new. I don't think anybody had slept in it yet. And it was in a huge campground. And everybody had a little house, and everybody had a little front porch with two rocking chairs and two beds on the inside and a little bathroom. So we could do everything there, and then we all went to this huge place that was prepared family style for food, for lunch, breakfast, and supper, and snacks. And then there was a chapel a little bit further over where we went to get educated and worship God. Well, guess what? My first day was an incredible encounter with whoever sits on the end of the table becomes the server. And I happened to be sitting at the end of the table. And whenever I saw the stack of pancakes, they were yay high. And we were eight at each table, and I think there must have been 30 pancakes. Then there was French toast, and there was eggs, and there was bacon, and there was ham, and there was this, and there was that. And then they had these huge bowls of warm fruit. And I got to taste my first boysenberries. Did you ever taste boysenberries? If you've never tasted boysenberries, they melt in your mouth. And I'm addicted to raspberries, and these are above raspberries. They had big soup bowls, or big platters of this, three of them on each table. Hot. Boysenberries, blueberries, apples, cherries, and peaches, and whatever, different kinds every day. So we started with this huge breakfast, had an incredible dinner, and an incredible supper. And guess what? I came home weighing 10 pounds less. Not making any sense, but I'm telling you, a feast is a feast. And I tasted of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I got addicted to the feasts that day, that week, that month. I'm trying to give you a taste. That starting on the 12th, Wednesday night, God willing, we will be here. That's the opening of the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. The first day of the new moon. God still uses the moon to tell time. Okay? And it's also the very first day of the month of Tishri, which is the first month. Down the road, you'll see on Tishri 9, which is the 21st of September, it is the Day of Atonement, the holiest day of the year for every single believer in the Most High. Whether they are Jews or non-Jews, doesn't matter. The Day of Atonement is what I tried to teach you a little bit about. And we're going to go a little deeper in a few moments. But I also want to teach you about hoping that on the 22nd, you will take quality time with the Lord. If we were in a building of our own, we would do our best to gather for that day again. In this particular case, I don't think we will do that unless the Lord really pushes buttons. Plus, on the 26th, which is the 14th day, that evening, at sundown, 26th at sundown, the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles starts. It will continue until October 3rd. So I want you to keep those dates present, and we will have some paperwork on that. And the calendar will be available so you can look at it right here on the table. Now you say, well, why are you giving us all this information now? Because I think it's important. Did you notice the animals that were required? Somebody had to buy them. And this past couple of weeks, the Lord has been bouncing on me about the promises that are given to those who honor God in the time of feasting. So, the first promise is that you will have an appointment with God and honor His appointment. So when you have the Feast of Trumpets, that's the beginning of the holy days of repentance and preparing your heart for the Day of Atonement. So now there are days there that you will be actually asking God to purge the sin out of you, to do repentance, not only for yourself, but for others who have hurt you. Because that's the way that the Lord gave us the example. We prayed earlier before communion, talking about how Daniel repented for his family. We also know Moses repented for his family and those that came before him. Jesus repented for his people. And guess what? They were transformed and changed. Now, in Joel chapter 2, you will hear about blowing the trumpet in Zion, which is the beginning of the feast season. Verse 23 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, and I will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain, together in the first month. So whatever has happened since Passover has now going to be doubled in the month following. God has never changed His mind or His plan to meet with man. How many know God would plan to meet with Adam in the cool of the night every night? Now, He wants you and I to take quality time out of our schedule to really get impacted by Him during this time of feasting. Now, I know some of you have to work, but that's something you work around. You do the best you can. God's ways are always the same, Deuteronomy 28. Do it my way, and it is time for God to bless you as you do it His way. The second guarantee or gift is for financial provision and promises. Joel 2, verse 3, gives you insight in there. Number 3, restoration. Joel 2, verse 25. You want to make sure you catch verse 25. Restoration, meaning that what has been stolen from you will be restored. Number 4, special miracles in this season will happen. That's in the days following the feasts. And some of them can come during the feasts. Joel 2:26 confirms it, and Ephesians 3:20 tells you that there will be wonders. Things that are out of the ordinary can happen. Number five, the divine presence. We got a taste of the presence of the Lord again tonight, confirming that He wants to meet with us and He wants to impact our lives. Joel 2:27 confirms it. Joel 2:27 confirms it. Number six, and some of you who have family and spiritual family, you're going to like this. Blessings for your sons and your daughters. Joel 2:28. If you take time with the feast and you listen to what the trumpet is saying in Zion, He's saying, I want to restore your sons and daughters. Do I get any amens?
Amen.
Number seven, deliverance granted to whomever calls on His name. Joel 2:32. It is so awesome to realize that God wants to really transform His people during and after this feast. And it's going to last for six more months. Now in natural Israel, from the Passover season, which usually is April, our April, not theirs, it is a dry season. They have to irrigate the land in order to get any kind of fruits and veggies. It does rain, but it's very light. After this season, September, October, the rain doubles. But the surprising factor is that it doubles in the first month. It doubles in the first month. I remember talking to Pastor Gino years ago, because we would always get a real influx of people just before Thanksgiving. And I never connected the dots until we asked him to consider letting us celebrate the feast. And in 89, we got permission. No, excuse me, 90. 89, I went to New Hampshire. But the bottom line that I'm trying to give you is, we need to adjust with God's schedule of things rather than man's schedule of things, and to just trust Him to transform us. To really understand His blessings and His desire to bless us will increase our understanding of why the feasts are there, why this appointed season was designed for us to be changed, and to meet with Him and then to get His instructions for the next 6 months. Does the corporate world run after the fact, or does it plan? Plans. God's corporate people should be making plans for this feast. We should be preparing ourselves. You say, well, where's the feast going to be for me? Because I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be there, and I've got to be doing this, and I've got to be doing that. You obey the Lord. It is not something that you have as a compulsory do-or-die situation that you're going to be guilty of something if you don't. Just ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want from me? Which days do you want? How do you want me to work this out? And trust Him. I have got some good news. Doug will be coming, and he will be with us for the feast. Spoke to him yesterday afternoon, confirming his coming over and looking for more. He was excited, and he's now pastoring down in North Carolina. It's a little test for him, a little testy, but keep him in prayer. And I told him it was his fault. He spoiled us at Passover, so he better come and kind of put some frosting on the cake. Amen? Would you bow your heads, please? Lord Jesus, I believe that they will have a taste of the goodness of your Holy Spirit's plan for these days ahead. And Lord, I pray that you know the fullness of what you want done and why you want it done now and why you want it done this particular way. So I'm trusting you to confirm these words into their hearts, because they need your confirmation. Just like you gave the confirmation to me, week after week, month after month, year after year, confirming my obedience with signs and wonders every single year. And sometimes these days of awe, which was between trumpets and the Day of Atonement, the days of awe can shake you, but the days of awe can also overwhelm you. Father, bless these and bless those that are listening to this message over the internet, and let the Holy Spirit confirm what they need to do in obedience to you, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.